Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. And then skipping to 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Peter chapter 5. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of being able to come to you in prayer every single day. Thank you for being a heavenly Father that always, always, always has a listening ear for the prayers of his children. Thank you for the honor, the blessing, and the privilege of being able to open your word every day and to hear from you every day, to receive your counsel, your wisdom, your guidance, your empowerment to be that which you've called us to be. Father, more and more open our eyes and our hearts to see much more clearly the landscape of the battlefield in which we find ourselves on today. Thank you for the truth in which you told us, never will I leave you nor forsake you. So we can know daily that we're never by ourselves, but we never walk alone, we never stand alone, because you're with us always. But help us also to be wise warriors on the battlefield daily, preparing ourselves for the battles, being able vessels through which you can reach to accomplish your perfect will each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity to be vessels in your hands to do your work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're thankful that we can look back on a week where you have been faithful to us, to our listening family. You've taken care of them and Joseph and myself. Father, we're thankful for the great hope that we have in you, that we can don't have to lean on our own understanding, but can trust in you with all of our heart, that there doesn't need to be any reservation there about trusting in you. You are one sure foundation. We exalt you. We lift high your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. We're getting closer and closer to our fall share-a-thon, just a few weeks away, and we're still hoping, if we haven't heard from you already, that you will give us a call at this number to share a listener testimony. That number is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. And share with us how the Lord is reaching through American Family Radio to bless and strengthen you and your family in your walk with the Lord, to help you to become better equipped warriors in the kingdom of God. If you'd call in and share such a testimony, we'd appreciate hearing from you. Once again, that number is 1-877-876-8893. Today, as we focus on a particular topic, our topic is daily preparation for battle. And part of what we're wanting to share with you from the Word of God is that it's critical that we be, well, to use the Bible word, to be sober-minded about the reality of our world that we live in. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a difficult world where lots and lots of things are going on. And so it's critical that we as God's people are aware of what's going on, that we're sober-minded, that we're serious, in other words, about what's going on, but also that we're well-equipped believers who are prepared for the battlefields of life. So it's critical that we're taking serious what we're called to, what we're dealing with as well. And so if you have your Bibles, we invite you to look with us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. It's a reminder of the days we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, speaking of the last days, and of course, it's easy for us to look and see that obviously, of course, with every passing day, we're closer and closer to the day the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But at the same time, we are living in the last days, and as Scripture points out clearly, we're living in perilous times. Crazy things are going on in the world all around us. We see people with crazy ideas, wicked ideas, terrible ideas, who are living out wicked, dark perspectives and dark goals and projects in their lives. It's critical that we as God's people know who we are and know what we're called to do. You know, the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So as we look once again at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, again, keep in mind, this is about preparing yourself for spiritual warfare. Again, our topic for today is daily preparation for battle. Like it or not, every one of us is dealing with spiritual warfare every single day. And spiritual warfare is all around us. And so it's critical that we, again, be serious and sober-minded about what we're dealing with. Not that we're to live in fear, because God doesn't call us to live in fear. In fact, the Word of God tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But it is important that we understand the fact that on a daily basis, we have to prepare ourselves for battle, because we're dealing with a battlefield, like it or not. Now, let me explain this very clearly, too. It's dangerous to be in a battle and you don't know you're in battle. And sadly, obviously, people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them may not recognize the fact, they may not recognize the reality of spiritual warfare all around us. So that's a dangerous way to live, to be quite honest. But at the same time, there are many people who are believers who, it seems, don't quite recognize that we're living on a battlefield every single day. Again, it's dangerous to be in battle and you don't know that you're in the midst of battle. In fact, when you're on a battlefield and you don't know that you're in a battlefield, but your enemy knows it, it's easy for them to ambush you. It's easy for the devil to catch you off guard because the fact is he uses all sorts of weaponry and dangerous weapons to come against you. And again, if you're not recognizing that you're on the battlefield, you may not have prepared yourself much, if at all, for the battlefield that you're on. So it's critical that you understand, like it or not, we're dealing with a battlefield every day. And the Bible tells us the thief comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil, our adversary, is coming against us every single day. So again, in Ephesians 5, reading verse, starting at verse 6 once again, it lays out for us, again, the importance of us putting on the whole armor of God. This is a powerful passage, and you would be wise to read and meditate on it often because it helps us better understand both the battlefield on which we find ourselves every day and how we prepare for battle as well. Again, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10 once again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So keep in mind, God is clearly directing us daily. We need to put on the full armor of God. And of course, it lays out what that armor is what it looks like. It also explains who our enemy is. The devil has a host. You know, the scripture here uses the word host. And specifically in verse 12, it says, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What is a host? A host is an army. Well, sadly, the devil has an army of angels, fallen angels, who are working with him to help carry out the work of the kingdom of darkness. His goal is to steal from people as much as he can, to kill as many people as he can, and to destroy and bring about as much destruction as he possibly can. But as we prepare ourselves for battle on a daily basis, we can prepare to stand against the devil, and not only just to defend ourselves, but to do battle with him and to take territory away from him, to take territory for the kingdom of God. That's done as we obey God, as we follow him, as we carry out ministry in our lives, as we live in such a way that we're a vessel the Holy Spirit can use to, amongst other things, to share the gospel with others, to encourage believers to, as so far as how to grow up in their faith, but also to carry out the work and the will of God as God calls us to do in his word. So one of the critical ways whereby we prepare ourselves for battle daily is be in God's word absolutely every single day on a pretty regular basis. I challenge believers to set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. Why is that important? Because amongst other things, the word of God refers to itself as being the sword of the Spirit, and that's exactly what it is. Well, when you're consuming God's word, when you're reading and meditating on it, it's equipping you with the weaponry of God's word. The most powerful weapon in the universe is the word of God. And when you're reading and studying God's word, it's equipping you to be a better equipped soldier who knows how to take the weapon of the sword of the Spirit and use it wisely and productively. So having the habit, and the reason spiritual habits are so important is because they help you to prepare for the daily battles of life. Now you might think, well, why do I have to do it every day? Well, there's much of life that's daily in its nature. And so it's important that we prepare ourselves daily with the full armor of God. So we'll pick up on the other side as we're looking at the topic, daily preparation for battle. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Feeling lonely, this world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up,
Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my only hope. Shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. Cause all I know is you're my only.
Music of Toby Mac, I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, daily preparation for battle. And our foundational scripture is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And just a reminder that, again, the nature of our preparation for battle each day is daily. Now, one might ask, well, why do you have to do it every single day? Well, just like, for example, you have to get up and get dressed to go to work. At least you typically should do that each and every day. Now, nowadays, you have a lot of folks that are working at home by way of Zoom or computer. Well, their daily clothes might be their pajamas. But normally, if you get up and go to work, you're going to put on your clothes and go out. Well, when it comes to the battle, the daily battlefields of life, we have to prepare by putting on the full armor of God. And so it's important that on a daily basis, we do those things that prepare us, that dress us spiritually each and every day. And so, as I mentioned, one of the very important spiritual habits that help us to dress and prepare each and every day for battle is that of reading and studying the Word of God. Again, my continual challenge is that you set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible each and every day. That's a good basic spiritual meal that helps prepare your mind and your heart for the Word. I don't think I have the ability to express how critically important it is that you start that habit of getting into God's Word each and every day. You know, like from time to time, I run into believers that may say, well, I read it at least one verse each and every day. Well, that's better than nothing, but keep in mind, I would liken that to eating a spoonful of cornflakes and saying, well, that's my meal for the day. It's better than nothing, but it's not nearly the nourishment and the strength that you need for the spiritual battles and encounters you're going to deal with on a daily basis. You need a good spiritual meal. And so getting into the Word of God and really spending time in there, it might be the same chapter 3 times over that you read and meditate on it. Doesn't necessarily have to be 3 different chapters. But remember, consuming the Word is important, and consuming an adequate amount of the Word of God as well. Remember, the Word of God is many things. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's a lamp that lights our way as we walk through the pathway on the journey of life. And it's a light that shows us where we're supposed to be going. The Word of God is Jesus. When you're reading and meditating on the Word of God, it's a daily appointment with Jesus. And Jesus will spend as much time with you as you will spend with Him. And it's many, many other things. So part of putting on the full armor of God is getting into God's Word each and every day. You know, a powerful and a very foundational story that's found in the Word of God that lays out a very important truth for us to note is found in the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, a familiar story, again, the life of Jesus with some friends. Again, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 tell us these words. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, just there are a number of critically important truths and insights from this little but powerful story in the gospel. Note here again, two sisters, both of them had believed in, they knew Jesus, they believed in Jesus and appreciated him, but with two different, very different approaches. Martha, her perspective, her thoughts and mind was on basically probably cooking, cleaning, preparing for all her dinner guests. Mary's mind was on sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his words. Now, the world would have said, Martha's doing the right thing and Mary's wasting time. But what a tragic misunderstanding of what's important. You know, the fact is, it's critically important that God's work, God's will is what's most important in life, period. Every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, God's will is what's most important in each and every one of our lives all the time. So it doesn't mean that one should never clean the house or cook, but one of the high priorities of the life of every believer is to spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. How do you do that? When you read and meditate on the word of God, that's a way of basically sitting at the feet of Jesus. When you spend time praying and meditating and spend time communing with God in prayer, that's a form of and a way of sitting at the feet of Jesus in your life. We're to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending time with him in his word, spending time in prayer. That's how we walk with God, by staying in close, intimate fellowship relationship with him. So it's to be a high priority. Doesn't mean you're to be on your knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are other things that you have to do. But having a time set apart for you to spend time one-on-one with the Lord in the Word of God and in prayer is critically important to helping you to put on the full armor of God. And so that's one of the ways whereby, as Ephesians 6 talks about, again, putting on the righteousness of God. And look at the specific details. Again, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to keep in mind that the description is a powerful one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, having girded your waist with truth. When you're reading and meditating on the word of God, you're dressing yourself with truth. It goes on to say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the preparation of the gospel of peace? This is about preparing yourselves to do ministry every single day. Well, ministry is doing the will of God, but it's preparing you to listen to God, to be poised to hear his voice, to hear his guidance from the word and from the Holy Spirit, and to do it. God has work for all believers every day. And if we're listening to his word and listening to his spirit, we'll be able to do it. But sadly, you have many believers who kind of going back to the story of Martha and Mary, the scripture very specifically points out, it said Martha was distracted. To be distracted is to be pulled away from the more important thing. Well, what was the most important thing? Giving your time and attention to Jesus Christ. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was distracted. What was she doing? Probably cooking, cleaning, preparing for her house guests. Well, again, the high priority in life for every believer is God and your relationship with God. Nothing is to come before God. Nothing is to come before God and our relationship to him. That's to be the high priority of our life. And so here, it's critical that we understand that a part of our daily routine is preparing ourselves for the battlefield of life by putting on the armor of God, spending time in the Word of God, and spending time with God in prayer. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 15, says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked one. You know, it's critically important to understand that it points out, it says, above all. Why would it say above all? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But also, it's critical to understand we need to put our faith to work in absolutely every step of our day, in every endeavor of our day. Trust God. We're to trust God to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to enable us to do what we're called to do. On the other hand, the devil wants us to think, you can't do that, you're not able to do that, you're not smart enough, you're not wise enough, you're not strong enough. But time in the Word of God helps to build our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you spend time in the Word of God, it builds your faith, it strengthens your faith, it grows your faith as well. So it's important that we're doing that each and every day. And it says, speaking of faith, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The devil is sending fiery darts your way typically many times of the day. And as we learn to put our faith to work, we learn to trust God in every situation, never to be fearful, never to be afraid, but we're to put our faith and trust in God. That's how we're able to fend off the attacks of the enemy. Trust in God in every situation, with every challenge, every difficulty, every problem or trial you face. What's the proper response for a believer? Trust God. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. Again, a good confession throughout the day is, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Just quietly under your breath throughout the day, just say that. Let God know and remind your own spirit you're trusting God through this situation, whatever this challenge may be. The scripture goes on to say, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, the Word of God is, amongst other things, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's the key weapon in all of life. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Also, Jesus is the Word of God. We're to be permeating our lives with the Word of God. You and I need to be reading and meditating on the Word daily, but also speak the promises of God often throughout the day. Speak Psalm 23, not just as a nice poem or psalm from Scripture. Speak it as a weapon, because that's what it is. Psalm 23 is a weapon. You speak it standing on the promises found there and reminding God, God, I'm standing on those promises. Lord, you are my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. Those are ways we're putting the sword of the Spirit to work. Confess the Word, read the Word of God and meditate on it. Confess the Word of God, pray the Word of God as well. Praying God's Word is a very wise and important thing to do as well. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, how do you pray always? Well, we need to pray, Lord, we need to pray a prayer along this line that says, Lord, teach me and empower me to pray always. Help me to know how to do that, because the Holy Spirit knows how to do that, and he's glad to help you. But we need to understand that our prayer life is a key tool to help you to walk with God all the time. Your prayer life and your time in the Word of God, they're vitally connected, but they're tools that help you walk with God. So if Scripture says praying always, number one, is not impossible to do, but we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to know how to do it. And he's glad to help and teach us. So we're wise to pray, Holy Spirit, teach me. Lord, teach me how to pray always. He's glad to teach us and to help us to do just that. So it's important to know, too, that the battlefield of life is there before us every single day. It's important that we're praying daily and walking with God daily, because the battlefield is before each and every one of us. We're going to take a moment now to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now again, notice in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it uses the word daily bread. That's an indication that, yes, this is a prayer we're wise to pray every single day. And if you wonder, well, why do we have to pray it every day? Because the nature of life is that it's daily. You have things to do every day, and part of what we need to do daily also is to put on the full armor of God. Again, John Wesley's the great servant of the Lord, John Wesley, his word for spiritual habits was means of grace. Your prayer life is a means of grace. Your time in the Word of God is a means of grace. Your obedience is a means of grace. Your praise and worship and thanksgiving, those are means of grace. Those are tools you and I can put to work in our lives that can appropriate or help us to get a hold of and use effectively grace that's available to each and every one of us. And the fact is, God has an ocean of grace available to us all, but we have to reach up and grab it. And means of grace, spiritual habits help us to reach up and grab and draw from that wonderful ocean of God's grace. Your prayer time, your time in the Word, your obedience, all of them help you to appropriate grace in your life and to funnel more grace to pour into your life in greater measure. It's important that we take advantage of these wonderful blessings and opportunities God gives to each and every one of us. Our prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers, please do email us to get it because it's a great tool to help you to pray effectively each and every day. It includes the Lord's Prayer. It includes a prayer for salvation, Psalm 91, the Psalm 91 prayer, and several other prayers that are based on or are drawn from directly from the Word of God. My email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send you a copy of the Kingdom Prayers tool. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'll be right back. Mosaic, the song Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tell us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." Again, Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. You know, in a perilous world, a world with perils such as diseases, the coronavirus, and many other tragic diseases, so many people are afraid. They're fearful. in a world where inner cities and many other communities are just simply dangerous places to be. We see the riots and the destruction that's going on in our cities. That's along with the problems that were already there, drug trafficking, human trafficking, muggings, murders, physical and sexual abuse. Where can people be safe? But you know, the scripture we read earlier again, 2 Timothy verses 3:1, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Where we're living in the midst of perilous times. Well, there is a place of safety in this world, and it's found in God. It's found in that secret place, that intimate relationship with God. No one can protect you like God can, but it's important for us to do our part to appropriate, to place ourselves in that secret place. Praying Psalm 91 every day is a very wise thing for all believers to do, because it's a way whereby we can look to God and put our firm faith in Him to protect us when no one else or nothing else really, really can. Let's take time now to pray Psalm 91. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say to the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. But it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, nor does any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high. Because we have known your name, we call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. We pray. Amen. Again, believers are wise to pray this prayer over themselves and over their families absolutely every single day. Why is this true? Well, again, the answer is simple. No one can protect you like God can. He's God Almighty. He's El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Again, if we can send you a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, please email us, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd encourage you to pray it on a daily basis. And also, email it, forward it on to family, friends, loved ones, any and everyone you feel impressed to the Lord to share it with. Because again, God is our only hope, but He's all the hope we need as we put our faith and trust in Him in this world, in this crazy world that we live in. I want to just, as before we end our program today, I want to challenge you to understand this. You know, in the midst of all that we see going on in the world around us, one of the tragedies is we see police and law enforcement officers are being attacked and are being characterized as the enemy. And that's so sad, because the reality is, in the Word of God, God's Word points out that the position of a law enforcement officer, that's actually a position ordained by God. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, listen to this. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Again, that was Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now, someone reading that for the first time may think to themselves, is that really in the Bible? You can read it for yourself. I just read it. It's Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. So amongst other things, the position of a police officer who is a peace officer, that's a position ordained by God. And actually, one of the toughest jobs in the world is the job of being a police officer or being in law enforcement. It's a job that requires very skilled and serious training. It's also often, so often, a very dangerous job. And typically, it doesn't pay a whole lot of money, too. And on top of all that, the mental, emotional, and physical requirements of the work regularly can be very taxing on police and law enforcement. And also, their spouses and their children often experience lots of pressure because of the kind of work that their loved ones do. So police and law enforcement officers are public servants. Of course, yes, certainly they're employees, but they're all servants. They have to be. And there are many outstanding people, men and women, who serve in many of our cities and communities in the field of law enforcement. Sadly, in our country, currently, it seems that for many people, they seem to be turning against and looking upon police as if they're some sort of enemy. And that's the work of the devil. That's the work of Satan, because the reality is this is a position that's to be honored, and we should pray for our law enforcement actually every single day. Too many in our nation seem to feel that they have a reason to oppose law enforcement. But again, that kind of perspective is satanic in nature. Those in the field of policing and law enforcement need a lot of prayer today. And I want to challenge every believer, make it your goal. We, the church, we need to pray fervently for the police and those in law enforcement. They're in great need of prayer and spiritual support all the time, to be quite honest. And the reality is, there's some wonderful men and women that serve in that capacity. I recall this not too long ago. I heard of a police officer, who stopped a young man in his car, and he had a child that wasn't in a car seat. And the police officers talked to him, and the man said he couldn't afford a car seat. Well, the officer could have simply given him a ticket and went about his business. But this officer didn't give him a ticket. He took the man and his child to Walmart, and he bought out of his own pocket a car seat for the man. That's the kind of servant lots and lots of our police officers, men and women, are. They sacrificially give themselves. We should pray for them every single day. We shouldn't be opposing them. We should be praying for them. Certainly, there are those that sometimes do wrong or that may be bad apples, but by and large, there are some wonderful men and women who are servants, who serve the public very sacrificially. We need to pray for those in law enforcement. And I want to share with you just a few ideas. I want to encourage churches and individuals to take it upon yourself to decide that you're going to begin to be a blessing to the police officers and law enforcement officers in your community, the sheriff's departments, that sort of thing, because they need our prayers and our support. Here are a few suggestions I want to suggest to you. Pray for them every day. Individual believers should make it a priority to pray daily for police officers and law enforcement officers to have wisdom, understanding, and skill in the work that they do, and also pray daily for their protection. Again, they regularly work in dangerous circumstances. So praying for their protection is important. Number two, pray daily for the families of those in law enforcement. Three, make copies of, email us and get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer. Take copies to your local law enforcement police department or law enforcement sheriff's department and give them out and invite them to make copies so that all the officers on the force can pray Psalm 91 over themselves every single day, because that would be a very fruitful thing for them to do. Remember, no one can protect them as well as anyone like God can. Number four, churches could set up a police and law enforcement support committee of sorts. They could commit to calling the police office and the sheriff's department and ask for prayer requests every week from your local police and sheriff's offices. Number five, have your church or individuals or your church to send donuts and cookies or periodic meals to the local police or sheriff's headquarters. These are ways to bless them. Remember, they're servants in the community. And right now, a lot of them need encouragement. Recently, I was speaking to a police officer who's a strong Christian man, and he shared how that his fellow officers are discouraged. They're looking at all the things going on in our culture today and how so many seem to be turning against the police. And some of them are discouraged. Did you know that God made it to where it's easy to encourage people if we choose to, with our words and our actions as well? A sixth task that we could do is have persons, adults or youth, to send letters or notes of appreciation to your local police and sheriff's headquarters. Number seven, specifically ask about ways, things or churches could do. Ask the department themselves, how could local churches be more supportive of law enforcement and police in your community? And then eight, teach believers to pray for anytime they hear a siren go off. Teach believers to pray for that situation, for God to pour his grace and mercy, because often it involves police officers or other emergency workers. Sometimes it may be firemen or maybe an ambulance. But whenever you hear a siren, make it your goal as a believer to pray for that situation, whatever it might be. And there are lots of other ways that you can bless and encourage your local police offices. But let's make it a goal to pray every single day for those in law enforcement. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the police and sheriff's departments in our local communities. Thank you for your hand of grace upon them. We thank you for these men and women who are servants in our community. Pour out your grace, mercy, and peace mightily upon them. Lord, divinely protect them from hurt, harm, and danger. Give them wisdom, discernment, patience, and grace as they do the work that they're called to do. And Lord, help them to have the grace to just to deal with people in view of the fact that often they deal with some of the most difficult people in society. Lord, more and more, keep them safe from danger, evil, and harm. Give them supernatural grace and wisdom and insight so that they can do their job with excellence, understanding, and efficiency. We thank you and we praise you for all of these public servants. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Email us to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer or some of the other prayers that we provide, the kingdom prayers. But all of them are tools that can help us to do the daily preparation for battle that we need as believers. Like it or not, every day of our lives, when we wake up, we're on a battlefield. But remember, we don't have to be fearful because we serve a big God, a great God that's more than able to help us to be fully prepared warriors for the battlefield and to help us to be warriors who can walk victoriously through the battlefields of life each and every day. We are in our families as well. Thanks for listening. Once again, the email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send you the Psalm 91 prayer, the Kingdom Prayer tools, or any other discipleship materials that we provide. Be glad to send them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.